Hello and welcome to True Romance. This is Carolina Barlow.
This is Devin Leary.
And this is our mini episode, the last in the series. This is on the series finale of The Bachelor with Matt James. This was a wild one.
A wildly long one.
The actual finale was the longest trek in the woods that I've ever taken. And Devin, you called it. He chose the crazy girl. Devin was saying, if you remember an episode ago, she was like, I'm worried. We all love Michelle. I'm worried, though, that he's going to go after the chaos that is Rachel. Did any of us know how much chaos was there? No.
All right, but I have to own up and be honest because we did just do an episode about catfish. It really taught me about honesty and accountability and bullying. So I want to be honest and say that I did read a spoiler article headline that had said
Reality Steve?
No, it was just like I was scrolling through like Just Jared or something, and it was like Bachelor Matt James reportedly already broke up with like the woman he chose on The Bachelor. So I'm like, okay, it's likely to be Rachel just because she did have like a life-altering racism scandal come out after he chose her. So it would make sense that he would have broken up with her, but I wasn't sure. So,
right.
So listen, Brian Williams has made mistakes like this. I'm no better than him. I acted like I had some kind of intuitive
thought. You've lied about war experience also.
I've lied about a lot. And this is really high up there on the list.
And this is just one. I mean, first of all, the finale is the episode where they all meet Matt's family. In this case, it's Matt's mom and his brother. What I love about The Bachelor, like you said, it tries to mimic the process of real relationships. So you go and you meet Matt's family before he pops the question. But it's such an awkward show in that if I went over to my boyfriend's house and his brother was there and we were all sitting down and hanging out and his brother just said, hey, Carolina, can I talk to you for a second?
No.
I would be like,
No.
Yeah, sure. You want to go? Okay, I guess your brother wants to talk to me. Okay, be right back. And then if I sat down with him, I'd be like, is everything okay? Like, is my boyfriend sick? Like, is he a drug addict? Like, oh my God.
Is he not doing well?
And if he had been like, have you ever been in love before? I would have been like, okay, you are losing it. But that's every single Bachelor season. They do this awkward like, hey, why don't we chat over here for a second? So what are your intentions with my brother? When did you know that he was for you? And the girls say nothing. They're just like, they're capital N nothing. Rachel was literally like, when did I know that Matt was for me? Okay, so I might have been like when I got that one-on-one date. And this the way that he like was and the way that he was like being. I was in awe. And like even like the first night when he prayed over us. Oh my God, I'm sorry. I'm joking up. And his mom is just crying. Matt's mom is going through it. She just cried through the whole show.
All right. Well, first of all, Matt's mom is an art teacher based on appearance only. My scientific guess is that she's an art teacher. That's just exactly what she looks like. And his brother looked often like he was trying not to laugh. Like he was like looking away and trying not to laugh. And I was like, okay, I kind of feel bad that he like had to do this. But it is the thing that like someone in the family, they choose someone in the family whose responsibility it is to take someone outside and say like, what are your feelings? But the way these women talk about Matt, I mean, I did feel like Michelle had like a real heart to heart with his mom.
No, you're right. Michelle did say she was like, and she also said when his brother asked like, what do you like about Matt? She was like, I like that I can trust him. And it's just, I can't believe that when Matt's mom was like, well, by the way, like, you know that like love fades sometimes too, right? The music they played was like, dun-dun, like as it hit him.
Yeah.
And I was like, wait, is this like a big bombshell drop?
Okay.
And his brother goes, yeah, I mean, like, just don't jump into anything you're not like really ready for. And all of a sudden, it's like someone just read Matt, like the definition of marriage. Like he was like, wait, love can.
He was like, that's what this is.
Crazy. And then he just spirals for the rest of the episode.
Okay, but can I just say that the things that the girls say about him, like you were saying, where they say nothing, reminds me of this like senior superlative we had in my high school. Like in the yearbook, they had senior superlatives and it was like they had to expand the categories so that every single student in the class would get one because they were like, we can't have like only the popular people. And so one of the superlatives was talks the most, says the least.
Wow.
The entire Bachelor franchise to me is talks the most, says the least. Like it's,
yes.
It's on for like 2.5 hours every week. And so many people say so many things and yet say nothing at all.
I also, the emotions that I express, sometimes I can tell the girls are really working for it. And sometimes I really think, oh, like, that's actually a good, I never think, wow, that's really sincere. Sometimes I'm like, that's really good acting.
Like, if anyone can photograph a single saline real tear coming from Rachel's eye, please send it to me. I have not seen a single drop of moisture. Like, if anything, I'm worried about her eyes, that they're too dry. Like, she doesn't even have normal liquidation of the eye. She has, like, dry eyes. And she's like, I'm getting choked up. But it's like, there's nothing there.
Watching the girls cry with Matt's mom reminded me of a time that I was at a birthday dinner with a boyfriend. And his dad brought out a poem he had written for him. And I was like, oh, no. And then his dad read the poem to the table, just his mom, my boyfriend, and me. And I was like, no, don't do this. And the poem rhymed. And I was like, you're killing me. And then both the dad and my boyfriend began to cry. And so I was like, I have no choice. I must cry. This is what I've been called to do. So I forced a little tear out of one of my little sockets.
I thought you were going to say, like, so I fully started sobbing. Like, then everyone at the table
so
is consoling you. And
I'm not an actor. Like, I just went,
I didn't mean for this. I just wanted to, like, give one tear, but it just let off this whole thing.
I wish I had started a poem and been like, beat this.
Yeah, been like, okay, so actually, my captain, oh, captain, here we go.
I go to the bathroom and write, run, and come back.
Okay, so Carolina is correct. But I actually had to rewind the moment you're talking about where, like, the mom said something and everything changed. Because I was like, wait, what is the music? Like, why did something occur? And I rewinded and realized it was the fact that his mom... It was literally the thing from the Sex and the City movie where Miranda says to Big, like, you two are crazy to get married. And he's like, oh, cool. I'm actually going to hinge the entire plot now on this one word that you said and be like, oh, I'm actually, like, not going to do anything the same in my life. My life's completely different and I must destroy everything. That is exactly what happened. Like, the mom said, like, you know, just, she didn't even say anything that specific. She said, like, don't put everything on this. Like, there's bigger things in life than love, basically, which is, like, totally normal, fair thing to say. Like, you shouldn't put everything on one relationship. You should have a full life. And Matt's like, oh my God, they're calling Chris in. I mean, I don't know if they called Chris in or if Chris was simply waiting in the shadows, as it seems he does.
And Chris Harrison was like, what the fuck did she
say?
I know.
He's like, why?
He was like, oh, that'll sell on a greeting card. Well, that'll sell on a Hallmark card.
He was so condescending and so angry, but also, like, does he just wait in the shadows? Like, does he have some kind of micro... Speaking of microchips, like all these QAnon people think exist, if anyone has a microchip, it's Chris Harrison, because something dings in him and he's, like, coming out of the shadows like, all right, what happened? Matt's like, can I walk out of a motel in Amish country without being, like, sidelined by Chris Harrison? I just want to walk out of a hotel in Amish country.
So then we have one of the more heartbreaking breakups I've actually seen, only because Michelle gets jerseys made, a tragic move, only because if you're not going to be married,
this was so hard. This was so hard to watch.
Michelle gets jerseys made that say Mr. James and Mrs. James on the back. Would it be something I would have done for every relationship? Yes. Is it a good move? No, in the long run, because if you don't have a wedding band, not even an engagement ring, I'm talking band, I'm talking you live in the house together for years, you can't buy stuff like that. I mean, we all learned it from when Justin Timberlake and Britney Spears played a charity game and wore jerseys that said Pinky and Stinky because that was their nicknames for each other.
Okay, first of all, just don't ever call yourselves Pinky.
Yeah, so Michelle gives them to Matt and he basically, I love Michelle. And when I am a fan on a reality TV show, they can do no wrong for me. So everything she was saying, I was like, yep.
Yep. Mm-hmm,
exactly. So he said, basically, he says, like, I feel like I need to just tell you what you want to hear. And she goes, I don't want that. And he's like, I just don't know what to do. And the best move, which is very much my breakup language, is she's like, okay, so I need clarity right now. am I supposed to fight for you? Am I not supposed to fight for you? I need you to tell me what's going on. And he's like, in his typical Matt, like, whisper, he's like, I'm not going to get there with you. And Michelle, like, bursts into tears, and then he runs out of the hotel. The fact that Rachel is still involved is just the craziest part.
Okay, can I just say a few things about this whole interaction? So, first of all, the Mr. and Mrs. James thing, as you said, like, I saw that he opened his jersey first and it said Mr. James, and I was like, okay, like, I know the chances are slim to none that the other one doesn't say Mrs. James, because why would it say Mr. James? But I was like, please no, please no. But this is the type of thing, as you said, that, like, while watching it, I wanted to be like, oh my God, classic error move. Like, this is so, you never do this. Why would you do this? In reality, I would do this in 2 seconds and then be like, wait, is it weird? I thought because we drove past that church that one time and you said it looked nice. And I thought, like, is it weird that I already booked a weekend? Like, there was like a moment of peace where I was like, wait, maybe he likes the jerseys. Like, maybe he's into this. And then he says, it's a lot. And I was like, no.
No. The worst words out of any human's mouth.
But she handled it so well. Like, he said he had doubts. And she's like, okay, like, tell me how you want me to react. Like, I'm not sure. I would have been like, doubts. Doubts. And she's like, okay, well, I just need to admit it. And, like, she cries beautifully. She looks stunning when she cries.
I know. She's just, I'm so obsessed. I cannot wait for her season. Ooh, we're going to cover that, like, pastrami on
rye.
My belly. On my
belly. You know that phrase? But wait, I hope she Venmo requests him for the jerseys, because I know customizing is hard. It's expensive.
She also, the day he, and he knows, they always know when they're going to break up with someone. Kendall Long was saying that when we interviewed her. She was like, he was going to break up with me. He knew he's going to dump her.
Almost kills her, basically.
He takes her vaulting down a building wall. I'm actually like a pretty, like, I've skydived, not to
brag. I know, you always talk about this. I'm like, wait, how have this never come up?
Okay, well, maybe someone is hearing this for the first time.
Just so whoever's listening, I've never had this come up in 9 years of friendship with Carolina that she's skydiving. And suddenly we watch The Bachelor and she's like, well, when I go skydiving, I don't get CTE. So, like, that's just me.
I need to post some pics to legitimize it. And so we have it on record. But I would rather go skydiving than what they did. That is so scary. They vaulted down a wall. It was actually kind of hard to watch. And she seems annoyed, A, because this show that was supposed to be a dating show is now Fear Factor. And B, because it's like,
it keeps happening.
You can't do that to someone you're about to dump. Why are you going to put them through that hell? And at one point, even on the, when she's in her talking head interview, she says, yeah, I mean, I actually am already in love with him, so I don't think I need to learn how to fall in love with him. Basically, like an F you to the producers. Like, I'm not really getting this metaphor anymore, okay? I figured it out. Like, what are we doing?
She's like, whatever happened to eating at a fold-out table, taking 5 bites in 3 hours of filming, and then having a country band start playing for no reason.
Please.
And dancing.
By the way, that sounds like besides the only a few bites, that sounds like a great date. Except for the country band, make it an episode.
Except for everything besides the fact that it's eating. It's terrible.
But it's eating and you don't have to be at a party.
I just think that also maybe his plan was, one of us might not make it out of this date. Like, we are hurtling down the side of a building. Right. He couldn't make up his mind.
We all know some mysterious things have gone wrong on a Matt James date before. Namely, the girl who fell from the sky.
I would have been like, I don't see the point to this. And there's a reason why I will never... Like, there's people who have to hurtle down the side of buildings. I'm not one of those people. Why would I make myself one of those people? Like, I'm not a soldier because there's a reason I'm not a soldier. Like, so there's a reason I'm not a hurdle down the side of a buildinger. And so I'm not going to do it for fun. That's what I would have said.
You got the wrong girl. That's what I would say.
And then I would say, by the way,
if you want me to do this, then you picked wrong.
I got you a present and it would be a jersey.
We have to talk about Rachel.
Yes.
And to talk about Rachel, we have to talk about, you know, they end up together in a weird sort of like, we're not engaged, but I can see myself with you and I want to be with you. And one of those conversations. And then we go to the After the Rose finale where they all catch up on couches in what feels like it should be a live audience situation, but it's not because of Donald Trump's policies. And we say hi to Michelle again, who looks incredible. And she talks to Matt and she's just like seems like a very elegant person. When they ask her about Rachel's racist past, she basically says she's like she's just uneducated. She's like, the problem is, and I would deign to say she's being very generous to Rachel by saying that, but she was like, people need to know why that outfit's offensive. And I loved how she said, she was like, there's so many, like, we have to put the right statement out there. We have to say the right thing. But it's like, why don't you just do the work of education instead of basically just repeating apologies and we'll do betters. Speaking for the franchise as well.
I thought the whole After the Final Rose was so interesting. Like, to me, the season finale, as Chris Harrison would say, was, like, pretty lackluster. He's like, you know, let's just, like, date, I guess. And I was like, okay, so basically you guys could have just met at a bar. Like, what is the difference between that and this? So I was kind of like, I guess I'll tune into After the Final. Guys, it was pretty shocking for the Bachelor franchise. First of all, they have a new host.
Emmanuel Acho. Yeah. He's like an ESPN guy.
Okay. So he was hosting. This I can see presenting problems because he's a very attractive man. If he were to host future seasons, I can see some of the female contestants having their eyes wander, so to speak. That's all I'm going to say. But because no one was going to wander for Chris. No one was going to be like, I actually am in love with Chris, unless they are a sick fuck. So this is a little interesting. But basically, he's like having repeated conversations about racism and cancel culture and internalized bias and all this stuff and education and all this stuff. So I just was like, I can't believe this is happening on a Bachelor show. But it was interesting because his conversation with Rachel, my perception was, I felt like a little bit like confused for a moment. Like I was like, okay, well, she is like showing up for this and she is having the conversation. She's willing to like be uncomfortable. He seems to be saying like he thinks that there's like a path for her to learn and change. And it sounds like Matt thinks that as well. Then when Matt was interviewed, Matt said he wanted to like just take time away from Rachel. Like they broke up, but it's because he was taking time away so she could learn. So part of me was like, oh, maybe like she's on the path to, I guess, like radicalization, to believe that slavery is bad.
That radical standpoint.
But then the telling thing was that Matt said, when the photos came out of her at the antebellum party, she didn't understand why they were offensive and he had to explain it to her. So that I thought was shocking. It wasn't like this thing where she was like, oh my God, I can't believe that this picture like just surfaced. I know it's offensive. What do I do? And apparently she also said that she wasn't even worried about it coming out. Like she didn't think it was a big deal. So that's like the biggest red flag to me, is that she didn't even get that like a pro-slavery party was offensive.
There was a lot of stuff dug up about her, like that whoever these internet sleuths are found her liking posts with girls in front of a Confederate flag. There was a liking post with someone who had a Make America Great hat on. There was, I don't even know. I mean, some of this stuff I can't say the validity of, but let's just say like it fits the profile. Yeah. And one of them was that her dad had donated a lot of money to Trump. So this like builds a pretty thorough picture for me. And I think something that I thought while I was watching it was, as a white person, when we find out someone like got quote unquote canceled, or, you know, you pass along like, do you see this person wear this? Oh my gosh, this person did this. Ah. And then we go about our days and just think like, well, fuck them. They suck. Like, they're gross. And like, I'm not listening to that music again. Or I'm not, you know, hiring Rachel for my graphic design needs ever again. Or
I am. Speak for yourself.
And two things hit me. One was Michelle saying, when I saw those pictures, it really hurt. It hurt. And thinking about how that's something that we just can't fully identify with as white people. We can be like, that's disgusting. That's horrible.
Yeah.
But we cannot begin to empathize with what that feels like from a black person's perspective. perspective. And with Matt saying, I'm from the South, and that took me to a really dark place, broke my heart a little bit, just the idea of like, oh, right. I mean, again, this is not just being white, but being white and growing up in New York and LA, you're like, oh, right. There is all of that quote unquote history, the antebellum history. Like, people think that's tradition, keep that alive. And they keep also just the tradition of racism alive. What I'm basically just trying to say is that there's just so much trauma around race in this country. And I can't imagine having to face that day after day. In Michelle's case, like with a colleague, which is basically what Rachel was on a TV show with her. And with Matt's case, with a quote unquote girlfriend. And I also thought about Barack Obama being interviewed for the Michael Jordan doc. And when they were sort of talking about Michael Jordan not supporting a Democratic candidate, Obama was talking about, like, as a black man, you have to represent everything. And I thought that during the interview, just when Acho was asking him, Matt, how did it feel to be like the first black bachelor? And he was saying, like, I didn't want to come off threatening. And yeah. I had to represent like black men. And I was thinking about like fucking Pilot Pete.
I know.
I was like, you never had to think about anything.
What about Colton? Like,
well, the name alone.
Colton, the Virgin Bachelor, like, what did he represent?
Anyway, that's my long, needless diatribe.
No, I thought the same thing when Emmanuel Acho asked Michelle about, like, Chris Harrison's comments, and she was like, it was just an added burden. Like, I got broken up with, I got thrown off this show, and then this happened, and it was just an added burden, which, like, I think just speaks to, like, the layers of trauma that black women have to go through. And who knows, by the way, like the constant DMs and comments that she and the other black contestants on the show get, like, just, I can't even imagine. So I just thought about, yeah, how I was like, oh, LOL, Chris Harrison canceled, like, what a piece of shit. And for all of these contestants who've had to work with him, like, that's traumatizing. And that's layered, like, layers and layers of triggered trauma, I'm sure.
Yeah. I'm also just ready for Chris Harrison to go. Like, watching Emmanuel Acho interview him, I was like, what a relief. We get to hear from someone else.
I also kept thinking, because Chris always jumps out of the shadows in the show, like, I kept thinking, like, Emmanuel, please, he could be right behind you. Like, because he was, like, talking about him. He was like, we have to talk about Chris's racist comments. I kept expecting Chris to come out of the woodwork and be like, hey, so what's going on? I mean, the last time I spoke to you, you were certain to be in love, and now you're telling me I'm racist?
The funniest thing, too, was that Emmanuel was obviously trying to play devil's advocate for the sake of, like, commentary on the show. But he was like, Matt, do you ever think that's in her past? I wouldn't want some things that happened 3 years ago to come out. He kept on being like, I mean, it was 3 years ago, right? And I was like, 3 years ago?
I know. So, wait. So, within the Trump presidency.
I have beauty products. She probably still has that foundation.
I know. Yeah, 3 years ago is nothing. As I silently slink away to delete my pro Jill Stein pictures. No, I'm kidding.
You and Jill Stein by the oil pipeline.
Me and Shailene Woodley and Jill Stein,
and Jill Stein
bathing in oil by the pipeline. Was that bad?
No, it was cool.
Okay.
Well, I'm sorry that we made such a dramatic critique of The Bachelor, but it was indicative of that the most popular show in television is finally tackling the most prevalent issue in our country.
Many, many centuries later, correct. I thought you were going to say the most popular girl in school is not to be trusted, because Rachel has most popular girl in school vibes.
Oh, well, that's another thing that people were digging up about her, is that she's like awful. Which, by the way, I could have told you. God help the PAs that worked with her. I want to hear their stories.
Come on the pod, Bachelor PAs. We would literally...
Bachelor PAs. That's a show.
We actually would give anything to speak with you.
Burn those NDAs. We'll give you fake names and a voice monotone. And we'll modulate your voice.
Yep. We'll blur your faces.
All right. Love you, Devin.
Love you, Carol.